Yeah, hi, this is Lucas Barfield, and you are tuned into the Cannabis Corner, a show dedicated to cannabis and talking about cannabis in our community and what's going on with it in Tacoma, the nation, and the world. So thanks for tuning in today, and today we are going to go over some headlines and then jump right into our topic, which today is about cannabis in Israel. A lot of stuff going on with cannabis in Israel you may not know about, so let's get right into our headlines today. So our first headline today is from out of Maryland, and it is talking about how Maryland is just getting its MMJ systems up and running. Now, or when I say MMJ, I mean medical marijuana and medical cannabis. I kind of use those terms interchangeably. So Maryland has actually had a medical cannabis system passed and ready to go for going on three years now or so. The problem, what happened was, and this is sort of surprising that this happens in a place like Maryland, but we don't really hear much about it here in Washington. But what happened was, is they went to set up their medical cannabis system, and then they realized that there wasn't enough diversity in their medical cannabis system as far as owners, producers, and processors, and store owners. There weren't enough African Americans involved in the process. So they put a halt to this. I mean, totally shut it down. It stopped. For a year plus, this has been going on for quite a long time. Lawsuits and discussions and all these things. It's been in the headlines a lot as far as the cannabis community goes. But they have finally put the finishing touches on this and, I'm guessing, resolved the problem. And now they are opening medical cannabis shops all over Maryland. In fact, right when they started opening, they were running out of product because they only had a couple shops, so that everybody had the pent-up demand. So they were running out of product, and now I just read a headline today saying that they are ready to open up 12 new medical cannabis shops in Maryland. Now, that's really good news for medical marijuana patients in that part of the country on the East Coast. There's not a lot of cannabis friendly states there on the East Coast. New York seems like they're trying to get a system going. Massachusetts, of course, has passed an adult use medical cannabis law, and they have medical cannabis, but Maryland has jumped out there and said, hey, we're going to do medical cannabis, and that is great. And it's right there by D.C. and everything, so hopefully some other states will come along. Delaware, Virginia, as we talked about before, is starting to decriminalize cannabis. And they're just really seeing the writing on the wall. We'll get to a story in a minute that really shows how much cannabis is being used out there. So they're seeing the writing on the wall. And in the case of medical cannabis, there are actually a lot of people in government still that want to help people. So they are passing these medical cannabis laws to help their citizens of the states that may have a debilitating condition, that medical cannabis will help them. So in the medical cannabis, a hot topic right now in medical cannabis is the veteran community using it to treat PTSD, and really is driving this. So good job to Maryland finally getting this system fixed. It was really kind of touch and go there for a while. And again, frankly, I was really shocked that Maryland did this and actually put their profits on hold to fix this problem before they got the whole system going. So good job to Maryland. So next up in our headlines is something on that sort of same vein, but in the opposite direction, and it's in a surprising place, and that is in Oregon. And according to a new story, let's see where it's at. It's in the McClatchy newspaper. You can find that online, McClatchy.com. This is a story about medical cannabis in Oregon and how medical cannabis is losing very fast to recreational or adult use cannabis. In Washington State here, what they did was say, okay, you don't have a choice. If you're a medical cannabis shop, you're just going to shut down. You don't have a choice. Bye, see ya. Well, Oregon decided not to take such a heavy-handed approach, and they gave a choice to their medical cannabis shops and said, okay, you can either stay medical or go recreational. And so a lot of medical shops just went ahead and went recreational, and a lot of new recreational shops came online, of course. But then there was a lot of medical cannabis shops says, okay, no, we're in this for the health of the patients, we're in this to help people, so we are going to go with we're going to stick with the medical system. And what they are finding is they are quickly losing market share. And according to the story, one-fourth of medical in Oregon has already decided to go the recreational route. And they have just received they b hold on 1 second. So there's just about only four medical cannabis shops in parts of the state. So they are quickly losing these medical shops. One of the owners said that he had gambled that the Trump White House was going to shut down adult use cannabis, and so that medical cannabis was going to be the only thing left, and he lost that bet. And so medical cannabis is dwindling quickly in Oregon. They are losing from year to year. Thousands and thousands of medical cannabis patients are not signing up again because it costs $200 to get one of these cards, and basically all that is $200 for a tax break. So you have to pay $200 to get a card for a tax break, because in Oregon everybody can grow anyway. So everybody can grow four plants. So it's not even any reason really to get a medical cannabis card in Oregon, according to a lot of people, because why pay the $200 when you can just get which you just don't get the tax break. So this is a big problem in the adult use cannabis state. Medical is going by the wayside, of course. Here in Washington State, medical cannabis is officially dead. I mean, even other people will say no, that's not true, but it is. If you would say that medical cannabis was what we had before 2015 and the Cannabis Patient Protection Act, then what we have now is not medical cannabis, just for the fact that the products in the store are not as much based in medical as they should be. The prices are so high that it's hard to get a lot of the cannabis that you need because of the prices. And the stores are just not set up for the idea that cannabis is to be used to relieve suffering and to give compassion to people. So we really have slipped when it came to come to medical cannabis. But in other parts of the country, like Maryland, it's on the come up. So things kind of go like that, go in cycles. So I'm not sure what's going to be the end result down in Oregon. I'm guessing that they're just going to keep dwindling and dwindling, and then sooner or later, medical cannabis and recreational cannabis will just sort of merge all into one, and they won't have all these distinctions and everything, and everybody can just grow and buy stuff at the store on equal level amount. So that would be the ideal situation, but we'll see what happens. So the next up is a story about teen use is down in Colorado after legalization. And there's another study, and there's other stories out there about the same thing has happened in Washington, that teen use is down. Now, this is actually a big topic. When adult use cannabis was up for a vote in 2012, was teen use. It was a lot of people running around screaming that if you legalize it, then all of a sudden all the teens were going to start smoking marijuana, be out there stoned all the time. Well, that is just not happening. People were saying, hey, it's not happening. I mean, it's a silly argument, because kids can get cannabis now, even though it's illegal in a lot of parts of the countries. And if you make it legal, then they'll be less likely to get it because they have to show their card to get 21. The guy on the corner selling cannabis does not have, he does never ask for your card. And so, or your ID. So you need to legalize it if you want to keep it out of the hands of teens. And it looks like that is working in Colorado and Washington. And they say that this is the lowest teen use in nearly a decade. Only about 9% of teens in Colorado use cannabis on a monthly on monthly basis, and also other drug use is down too in Colorado. So they're all the way down to the seventh in the nation in teen cannabis use. And surprisingly, Oregon is way down there too as far as teen cannabis use. And that this is important because part of the Cole memo, which is the directed from the federal government how they're handling cannabis right now under the from the Obama administration is to keep cannabis out of the hands of teens. So this is actually a big deal. This the youth access is a actual part of I-502. I can't remember which, there's three or four different parts of I-502, which one they say they're going to, which one they say is going to stop youth access, but it is part of I-502 to stop youth access. So these studies showing the decline in youth access is, they are actually very important to prove to the federal government and to the state that I-502 is working, that cannabis use in teens is going down. Just for the fact, you know, it sort of takes out the taboo, it takes out the wildness of it because it's not illegal, it takes away the unknown of it if it's more legal. I think it also opens up parents to talk to their kids more about it and say, hey, maybe you want to stay away from this until you get older, or hey, this is maybe not something you want to take a look at or mess with. So the legalization of cannabis is nothing but a good thing when it comes to kids, just for the fact that it just opens up in our society. And if you have kids, then you know that it's really important to be honest and open with kids, because if you're not, then usually they'll know it, and you know that leads into a whole bunch of other problems. But teen use is down, and that's good, like I was saying. So good job, Colorado, for turning that around. It actually had gotten to be a problem at times, teen drug use, because they were I had all the different campaigns, say no to drugs and all that. But now you can't really say, oh, no, the teens are all on drugs. Now, they're doing a lot of other things. There's a new study came out to say today there's a lot of teens that are vaping nicotine, so that's a problem. So keep eye on that. Okay, this next story is not a good story, and it is a canary in a coal mine story. And if you care about your freedom and liberty, then you might want to pay attention to this one. In New Hampshire. Okay, now this one's kind of tripping me out because the headline story is ACLU challenged Customs and Border Patrol drug arrest. Okay, so then I went to read the story and it said that this happened in New Hampshire. Now, I'm not super great in geography. I am visually impaired, so I haven't seen a map in quite a long time. But I'm like, I don't know if New Hampshire goes up to the Canadian border. I'm like, what is going on here with this? That you got the Border Patrol and Custom agents in New Hampshire arresting people. And yes, that is actually what happened. This happened in August and September. Border and Customs Patrol went 90 miles into the United States, into New Hampshire, on the interstate. Let's see what I got the road here. No, I don't have the road, but it was like a road going up through the mountains. And they started just pulling people over on red roadblocks. They pulled over hundreds and hundreds of people. And they arrested 44 people for drugs. Most of those were for small amounts of marijuana. And that's what I was talking about earlier in the show. That just really goes to show how many people out there are using cannabis. Because this is New Hampshire, okay? They found 44 people in New Hampshire. New Hampshire does not have any kind of cannabis law that makes it legal of any kind. That is all illicit market cannabis. I mean, I would say more than likely that is all illicit market cannabis there in New Hampshire. And just for 44 random people to be driving down that particular road at that particular time and get arrested for cannabis, that's a lot. And so that just goes to show, again, the statistics are right, that there are so many people out there that use cannabis. And this is shocking that the Trump administration would use the Border Patrol to arrest people for drugs inside a state. Inside a state like New Hampshire. So they... So they were using drug dogs. They were just coming through, stopping people. And the ACLU is representing 18 people. And what they are doing is say the New Hampshire Constitution is actually way stronger than the federal government constitution when it comes to this kind of stuff. And the ACLU is saying, you, according to New Hampshire law, you cannot do these search and seizures. And guess what the federal government says? The feds just say, oh, well, you know, we have more leeway. So there's nothing you can do about it, and there may be not anything they can do about it. But I just think that story is shocking that the Border Patrol is that far in and just randomly pulling people over, and then when they find the medical cannabis or the cannabis on them, they're calling the New Hampshire State Patrol, and they're getting arrested for the drugs. That is just crazy. You know, I have lived under those circumstances in Alabama. I've been through roadblocks, searched, and had drug dogs turned on me before multiple times. I don't, maybe once with the dogs, but a lot of times people searching through my car and frisked and cuffed a couple times by police in ways that you probably shouldn't be. So I have lived under those conditions of like a police state, and if you have not, then you need to be aware that this is actually going on out in our country, that you can drive around and then suddenly come around the corner and there's a police car there, and they will pull you over, take you out of the car, search your car, and if you are found with cannabis, you will go to jail. I've seen it happen. It is not a good thing, and it is taking away. This is why cannabis is more than just a plant issue. It is a issue over civil liberties and our freedoms as citizens of the United States and the world, because it is a plant, and in my opinion, you should be able to move around freely with a plant in your pocket. I mean, this seems pretty reasonable. It's a plant. So this is what's going on out there with the Trump administration. We need to be very aware of this. They didn't say anything in the article actually what they were looking for, but I have a feeling they were just out there trying to find immigrants, but they were finding drugs. They had arrested a lot of people for drugs, so they didn't say anything about they found any illegal immigrants or anything. So this is something to watch out for. So today we're going to get into our topic real quick. And today we're going to talk about Israel and medical cannabis. Now, Israel is a country that I do have some issue with on many issues as far as they are concerned and the Palestinians and all that mess. But in the case of medical cannabis, Israel is surprisingly a leader in this field of medical cannabis and now cannabis in general. All the way back in the 1960s, they discovered the endocannabinoid system and the naturally occurring cannabinoids that occur in our bodies in Israel. So they have known about the endocannabinoid system. They've known about THC and CBD, how those affect your body. They have known about anamide, which is the natural, I was just reading about that today, which is a natural cannabinoid in your body. So they have known about this for many years, and that was all discovered in Israel. And then they were some of the first to legalize medical cannabis in the 1990s. Back right before the medical cannabis boom started in the United States, they legalized medical cannabis in Israel. And then in 2004, the military just blatantly took up the case of using cannabis to treat PTSD. So they, 2004, the military just said, okay, this is what we're going to do. While 2004, you know, we have like 5 states in medical cannabis in the whole entire United States here that were friendly to medical cannabis. So Israel's way ahead of us on this. So they recently have decriminalized medical cannabis or the possession of cannabis. And they also are very liberal in their view that you can vape cannabis in public. That's for the medical patients that, you know, it's hard to, if you're out and about and you need to use medical cannabis, it's kind of unfair to a medical patient that you can't use the product in public. So Israel is a leader in that, saying, yes, you can use marijuana in public, or at least vape in public. So this has led to an MMJ research boom in Israel. Right now they have over 500 cannabis startups, and they have decided recently that they're going to export MMJ and that they're going to allow researchers to come in from all around the world to do medical cannabis research there. So this is a boom going on right now in Israel. It is stimulating the economy. So As far as the decriminalization goes, it's not they're not selling it in stores or anything, but they're just saying you can't get arrested for walking around with cannabis. Over 15 grams, they have it set up where you can get a ticket for $270, and then if you're caught again, you get another ticket, and then if you're caught again, they will put you in some kind of drug rehabilitation program, and then from there they'll just keep upping it, and eventually I guess you can be incarcerated, but it does take many steps. But I do feel that Israel soon will probably just go along with adult use cannabis, and just I mean just why not just decrim it altogether? Why put a limit on it on the 15 grams? And if you're going to decriminalize it, why eventually can you get into jail? So, you know, Israel, like a lot of countries, still has a little work to go on this topic, but it is far, far, far ahead of us, the United States, especially in medical cannabis research. They actually, all doctors have to take a course in Israel for medical marijuana. So the doctor, it's not like here when you go to the doctor and you say something about medical cannabis and they kind of look at you funny. They actually use medical cannabis as part of their treatment protocol. So very far ahead of us, Israel, on the topic of medical cannabis, and good for them. So that was our topic today, and if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter at MJ is Medicine, and you can follow all these headlines and other stuff I might post on cannabis, what I'm doing out there when it comes to cannabis. Be aware, Olympia, they're coming up with some legislative actions on the topic of cannabis, so be aware and keep an eye out for that. So before we get out of here, we're going to do our last topic of the show, and that is the It's a Bus section. So this is the topic part of our show. We just go over a bus somewhere in the United States. I kind of look around for an outlandish, kind of crazy bus, and I actually saw one today that will be on the next show. Somewhere they busted a, what did they call it? A marijuana castle or something. Oh, it was a marijuana fortress. So that's the one we're going to be doing next show. But today I wanted to do one that I found down from my neck of the woods where I grew up and first started coming across cannabis, and actually have probably driven on this road with cannabis in my possession, and have definitely been in this part of the world in the Baldwin County, Robertsdale area, which is on the way to Gulf Shores in Alabama, right off the I-10 interstate on the way to Florida. So I-10 runs from California all the way to Florida, and right there for a little while it rides right through Alabama. Now, this guy, unfortunately, yeah, I'm just not so sure about this fella. He was pulled over. When they pulled him over, there was a large smell of marijuana in the car and the smell of coffee. So there were some bags and some this, that, and other in the back. Like, he said he was delivering some gifts down to his friends in Miami, and he didn't know what was in these other two cases. And they opened up the cases, and there were 65 pounds of cannabis, along with some coffee beans to try to cover up the smell. Police, of course, didn't believe the poor fella, and he said he didn't know anything about it. He was delivering it for a friend, and they, of course, arrested him, and he is now in the Baldwin County Jail at a $300,000 bond. And that's just too bad. So thanks for tuning in for the Cannabis Corner, or to the Cannabis Corner. You can hear us on Tacoma Airwaves, and thank you so much, and follow us at MJ is Medicine. Bye-bye.